Welcome to Red Leg Nation Radio, your home for discussion and analysis of Cincinnati Reds baseball all year long. Now here's your host, Chad Dotson.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Red Leg Nation Radio. This is episode number 242 of the World's Most Dangerous Podcast. I'm Chad Dotson. With me today, this week, once again, Bill Lack. How are you today, Bill?
Doing wonderful. Ho, ho, ho.
Ho, ho, ho. It's that time of year.
Yes,
and,
it is.
The Reds haven't gotten very many Christmas gifts yet, have they? At least not for the fan base.
No, they've gotten one, and you know, I hope that they're being selective in their gift purchases.
Well, we're going to talk about what rumors are out there, and we want to get into a number of things here today. But one thing that you and I haven't had a chance to talk about, I just want to briefly give you a chance to say, to give some of your thoughts, because you, the last time we spoke on the podcast, the winter meetings had not happened yet, and so I talked to Jason Linden about that last week, but I want to know what your thoughts were on Tanner Roark, and it's Roark, I guess. People were giving me a hard time for saying it Roark last week, but I know someone whose last name is pronounced Roark that has spelled that same way, so I guess it's Tanner Roark.
Roark, that's a time to kill, isn't it?
Yes, exactly.
Another attempt. See, you always think in attorneys. That's what it is.
Somebody said that's what Noah's made his sons do.
I just think you got Sandra Bullock on the brain.
Ooh, well, you know, there was a time when that was true. Not so much anymore, and it may be, but so Tanner Roark is the Reds made the trade at the winter meetings, and they were sort of, the talk was that they were in on everybody. They were talking to every agent, every front office. Did you have any thoughts about what we saw from?
Well, I think you're hearing a lot more and more that the winter meetings aren't the be all and end all like they were back in the day. I like the deal. I mean, I think the Reds got, you know, they got a you know, guy that's going to be at the top of their rotation as of right now, for a guy that may not even made our team coming out of spring training. Now, they only have him for, I think, 1 year, if I remember right.
That's right.
But, you know, he's an innings eater. He's, you know, he's a better than average pitcher. He's, you know, and I like the guy they gave up for him.
Yeah, big arm.
Yeah, you know, his numbers, at least thus far, what he'd done in the minor leagues, hadn't transferred to the major leagues. But
Tanner Rainey, we're talking about, of course.
Yeah, we're talking about Tanner Rainey. But I like, you know, what I saw about him in the minor leagues. He just, you know, I think it was a matter of time before he became a pretty good major league relief pitcher. But you know, I think it's a good deal. The good thing to me, and you know, as frustrating as it is to a lot of the people, and me to a little bit, but mostly to people I've been reading about, you know, that are anxious for the Reds to do more, is at least you're hearing that they're doing, you know, that they're talking to people. The last 2 or 3 years, you didn't even hear that.
Yeah, radio silence.
Yeah, so I'm not saying I'm satisfied with rumors, but, you know, at least rumors make, you know, it's kind of maybe, you hope it's, you know, smoke and fire things.
Yeah, you know, Roark is a middle of the rotation guy, and he's a dependable guy for the Reds, you know, for next year. And he's not an ace. You said him; he's at the top of the rotation. That's sort of by default because of this lousy rotation,
right?
But he's a middle of the rotation guy that's going to throw a bunch of innings and is going to get a bunch of people out, and he's not going to be particularly flashy. But you know, I think in, I don't know, like,
you know, up until last year, he was a pretty good ground ball pitcher. Okay. Not as much last year, but before that, I mean, he was in the 47-48% range.
And what I like about him is that in 21 of his 30 starts last year, he made it through the sixth inning. So, you know, how many times did we see that last year?
Not often.
And something I didn't say about the Roark trade last week that it really, to me, puts it a little bit into perspective. First of all, you got to look at this in the context that we're assuming this is not the last move. And the Reds have said it's not there, and we're going to talk about some of the rumors in a moment. But if you assume this isn't the last move, it looks really, really good when you compare it to what the Reds have done in past years. Think about the years when they've signed guys like Scott Feldman. And that was their – Scott Feldman was the opening day starter that year. You know, Roark is like sort of the – maybe hopefully the second or third best guy that they obtained for the rotation. But he's way better than a Scott Feldman type. You know.
And barring something unforeseen, he will not be the opening day starter.
Well, I would hope not. Oh, I would hope not. So one guy we know is not going to be, this isn't about the winter meetings, but let's go ahead and get it out of the way. One guy that we know will not be the opening day starter, Matt Harvey.
Woohoo!
Matt Harvey, a short time Red, who they refused to deal at the All-Star or the trade deadline, reportedly, partially at least, because owner Bob Castellini just loved him some Matt Harvey. And the Reds wanted to keep that.
So that was a good decision. Not trading Billy Hamilton at the trade deadline. Yeah. This was good. You know, if you'd have gotten a bag of balls, you'd have been better off than what you ended up.
We're not going to talk about Billy Hamilton, Bill.
Oh, okay.
But Matt Harvey signed for $11 million, 1 year contract, $11 million with the Los Angeles Angels.
With I think, $3 million more in incentives.
Right, yeah. Possibility of up to 14, I believe, in incentives. That was a lot bigger base than I expected he would get. I thought it would be more of an incentive-laden contract, but there must have been some push for Harvey on the free agent market. Are you just really happy that he's not a Red?
Yes.
I'm not.
And I think, you know, the Angels giving him that kind of money is insanity. I mean, it just shows that they've got more money than they know what to do with.
It's not my money, and so, you know, whatever, but I do think the Reds could do better with $11 million than Matt Harvey. I did not dislike the idea of Harvey being back, as we discussed, but it's sort of if you're bringing him back as the number five guy, okay, he's in the mix. I don't have a problem with that. You know, $11 million, I can't see that being a really cost-efficient move for the Reds, although I've been saying you got to spend some money on the free agent market if you're going to get somebody, but I'd rather spend it on someone who's a better bet to be effective, and I'm just still not entirely sure what Matt Harvey is. So good luck in L.A., I guess.
So have you bought your Kansas City Royals jersey?
I have not, but I looked at them.
You're a sad man.
Oh, well, that's true in many, many ways, Bill Lack. So, but I think something you mentioned about this to wrap up the winter meetings that I think is also really important to focus on, and Jason and I talked about some last week, is at least they're talking. I mean, at least they're in the mix, and it's something yep. we haven't seen. And, you know, it's going to make everybody even more upset probably if they don't make any more deals. But, you know, the fact that they're actually out there actively trying to improve the team is such a new thing for us. It's hard to believe this is the same Cincinnati Reds we've been following.
Yeah, and before we get off of the winter meetings, and Mr. Rourke or Roark or this new guy we've got, I was looking at Baseball Reference, and the similar pitchers, I don't know if you guys talked about this last week. I hadn't had a chance to listen. But one of the first similar pitcher on his list is Sonny Gray.
Sonny Gray. Wait. You didn't listen to last week's podcast?
No, haven't had a chance.
What could possibly in your life make you so busy that you couldn't listen to the podcast?
I know, it's hard to believe. But another guy on that list was Matt Latos.
Latos, I remember him.
Yeah, he was a pretty good pitcher for the Reds for 3 years.
He was a pretty good pitcher. He was a pretty good pitcher too. Pretty good pitcher for the Cincinnati Reds.
A pretty good pitcher.
Well, yeah, we won't get into that. But let's dive into the only viewer mail question we have this week, and let me explain this to you. Bill and I have talked a little bit offline about this, and we talked some on the podcast about the fact that I'm no longer running the show at RedLegNation.com. It's Doug Gray, and in the mix of moving things over, my RedLegNation.com email address that I'd been using for viewer mail questions. I don't know. Doug must have revoked my access or something, but it's not working right now. It's bouncing things back. So temporarily, until we get that straightened out, if you have viewer mail questions, send them to us on the Twitter feed at Red Leg Radio. Rick Boyer was the only one who got one in. And let me just, this dovetails nicely with what you're talking about and with the topic that I want to get into next. Hey, Chad, nice chatting with you at Reds Fest. Here's a question to ponder. The trade that brought Matt Latos to the Reds involved Yonder Alonso, Edinson Volquez, Brad Boxberger, and Yasmani Grandal. Which players would be the 2019 equivalent for the Reds, and who are some possible pitchers they might get in return? Love the show, Rick B. in Cincinnati. Short and pithy. Thank you, Rick. And it was good chatting with you at Reds Fest as well. Now, that's a little difficult question to answer, and our answer is going to be sort of spread out over the next little bit, this conversation, because there's several things here that I want to unpack. The first of those is Matt Latos, you just mentioned, and Sonny Gray as being comps for Tanner Rourke. Sonny Gray's a guy that I really want to see the Reds go out and pursue from the Yankees. He's another sort of middle-of-the-rotation guy that I think is a good bet to bounce back. And I would like to see Derek Johnson, Reds' new pitching coach, working with him. Matt Latos, you say him in most circles around Cincinnati, you're probably going to get sort of a growl or a grumble in return. But Latos... I still say that was a good trade. What do you think, Bill?
3 years with the Reds is ERA plus 118.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah. his WAR was 8.1 in 3 years with the Reds.
Right.
I think you'd be hard pressed in the last 20 years to find a whole lot of pitchers that put up three. You know, they put up 8.1 WAR wins in 3 years.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you stepped on one of the things I was going to talk about later about a different pitcher, and that's interesting corollary to what I was going to say. Yeah, no, that was a good trade, and the Reds had to trade some good players for him, but they got a pitcher that was one of the anchors of a really solid starting rotation during a time they were in contention. And so it's, that trade to me absolutely was worth it. Which possible pitchers they might get in return? Well, let's talk about one of them here that I think is really similar in some ways to that Matt Latos idea. This week, John Morosi from MLB Network had talk that the Reds and Indians are still in discussions regarding Corey Kluber, Indians ace Corey Kluber. Morosi's report was, and I believe this was widely misinterpreted, but that's my opinion, but it said Cleveland expressed interest in Cincinnati prospects Nick Senzel and Taylor Trammell. So the Reds are still trying to get Corey Kluber. Corey Kluber, a guy who has 3 years under contract still remaining, so he'd be with the Reds the next 3 years, and people talk about his age, but my first thing on him is, well, when's the last time the Reds had a pitcher of Corey Kluber's caliber for 3 years? And probably Cueto.
Cueto.
Before that, probably Jose Rijo. I mean, it's not like we've seen very many. So 3 years of a guy who can perform like Corey Kluber performs, that's a pretty valuable thing. The Reds have not had many of those.
I agree.
So that's the type of guy I have no problem with the Reds going after. Now, I know a lot of people, including us, expressed sort of some initial alarm at the names Senzel and Trammell both being in there. But, you know,
I would struggle with trading both of them for Kluber.
Well, I think it's silly, but I don't think – yeah, I agree with you. I wouldn't do it either. I think it'd be crazy, and I think that's probably what the Reds said as well. But if you're Cleveland, wouldn't you start with that? Wouldn't that be your first salvo?
Hey, boy, sure.
I'm interested in Senzel and Trammell. If you want our guy, you know, that's where it starts. But then that gets into the question of, well, first of all, Corey Kluber. You agree that this is a guy that the Reds need to be targeting?
He's the type of guy they need to be targeting.
Right.
I mean, I would love to see this guy pitching, even though I struggle with a little bit with the, you know, being on the wrong side of 30, but I could live with it.
I could, given that it's a short-term deal, basically 3 years, which is long-term or short-term. It's, you know, but it's not going into his late 30s, and also that he has performed very consistently the last few years. So, and he's been relatively healthy. So he's the type of guy. He fits the pattern of what we're looking for, right?
In 17, he started 29 games. Before that, the last time he didn't start, I mean, he's had 1 year since in the last five where he didn't start 30 games. He's been over 200 innings every year since 2014.
And so what that shows me a little bit is you're always worried when you trade for a pitcher, injury. And we've seen so many injuries with pitchers. But with him, you got a little bit of a track. You still don't know. It's still a little bit of a crapshoot. But at least you got some sort of a history here that, he's got some healthy time behind him. And he's at an age where, you wouldn't expect him necessarily to, I guess he might start breaking down a little bit. But he's shown us that he's relatively healthy. So that's something. That's in his mark that in his column. Now, Nick Senzel and Taylor Trammell. No, I would not trade both of those guys for Corey Kluber. Yes, I would trade one of those guys for Corey Kluber. And here, let me just, you wanted to talk a little bit about the sort of feeling among the fan base, and this is a good way to get into it, I think, in some ways. Or maybe not, but here's my opinion on Taylor Trammell and Hunter Green. And a number of other guys sort of similar to them. I will never, never get upset with the Reds for trading any prospect that hasn't made it out of A-ball. Taylor Trammell is a valuable asset right now. He has a chance to be a really good Major League Baseball player.
In our opinion, he's been brought along too slowly.
Agree. But you also have to – you got to sort of judge him on – this may be the most valuable he ever is. How many guys flame out between single A and the majors?
What was the third baseman's name?
Brandon Larson. Now, we're not saying
the epitome of the 4A player.
Right. So if you got a guy that's not made it out of A-ball yet, rightly or wrongly, we don't know that he's going to perform at higher levels. And so trade them all. I would trade Taylor Trammell and Hunter Green in a heartbeat in the right deals. I mean, I'm not giving them away. But for a guy like Corey Kluber, they say, we want Taylor Trammell. We say, okay, we'll start there. Will you take him straight up for Corey Kluber? And they say no. Well, then we go on to see what else it would take. But I would absolutely let Taylor Trammell be the headline of that deal if the Indians are interested in him. And why wouldn't they be? He's a top prospect. But am I undervaluing guys because they just don't have a track record, or what do you think?
I tend to agree with you. At some point, if you're going to bring in – I mean – to me, what this is saying is the Reds last year said, okay, we've got all these pitchers that everybody thinks so highly of. We're going to bring them up, and we're going to sink or swim with them. Well, we sank. So now the Reds said, okay, well, that didn't work. So now what we're going to do is we're going to take some of our prospects and try to improve the team, bringing guys in from the outside, either via trades or money. To me, that's the Reds admitting that the guys they've got aren't going to be able to elevate themselves to the point to make this team competitive. That means you got to go other routes. That means, and if you're going to trade somebody, you know, you can't get, a Corey Kluber for Alex Blandino and a backup catcher.
Yeah, no one wants to trade the prospects. It kills me. They want the Reds to go out and trade for somebody, but nobody wants them to trade the prospects. To me, a prospect is an asset.
And you have to give something to get something.
You have to give something to get something. And what you're giving up, if you're giving a prospect, is the chance that guy's going to become, you know, a great player. I look at a guy like Taylor Trammell. Let's look at Corey Kluber and Taylor Trammell, sort of in tandem. Kluber has been worth roughly 20 wins above replacement in the last three seasons. Let's say he's only worth half of that for the next three seasons for the Reds. Let's say he's worth 10 wins above replacement. I think he'll be better than that. But let's say he's worth just 10 wins above replacement total for the next 3 years. Are you willing to bet that Taylor Trammell is going to put up more than 10 wins above replacement in the major leagues?
I would be willing to bet he doesn't.
Exactly. Most players don't. And he could even make it to the big leagues and be a helpful player.
A good player.
Yeah. And not get to that for the Reds. So this is what you're giving up. Now, what if Kluber is worth 15 wins the next 3 years? You know.
What if he comes in here and wins the Cy Young next year?
What if he comes in and wins the Cy Young? Taylor Trammell could come in and be the best, outfielder the Reds have ever had. Yeah, this guy's talented, and he's got an idea at the plate. I love him. Love the guy. I want to see him in Cincinnati someday. But am I willing to bet 3 years of Corey Kluber on Taylor Trammell being able to make it? A guy that, again, has not even made it to Double A yet, which is not necessarily his fault, but at least we haven't seen him perform in Double A, so we don't know what he's going to do at the higher levels. And so many guys have a difficulty, and it's not like his numbers have been so crazy so far in his career that he's a absolute lock to be a productive mate, like Jay Bruce. Nice.
Sorry about that.
Nice. You playing video games over there?
No, it's stupid baseball reference.
a little Call of Duty over there or something? What was that? A guy like Jay Bruce, who just rocketed through the minor leagues, you knew he may not be a superstar, which he wasn't, but you knew he's going to be a productive major leaguer. I'm not seeing that with Trammell. I'm seeing a really good prospect who's so athletic, and he's got so many different skills, and he's put up pretty good numbers, and he keeps getting better. I see a guy that you love to have, and he's a top prospect for a reason, but man, I'm willing to gamble that on a guy like Corey Kluber. And some people on at Relic Nation in the comments and on Twitter act like that's the craziest thing you ever heard. Why would you trade one of your top prospects? And maybe I'm, I don't know, I'm starting to feel like I'm taking crazy pills, Bill.
Well, I think our fan base is divided. Well, I think part of it is, as you said, they overvalue. And for many years, we all said the Reds overvalued their prospects, and that's why they wouldn't trade any of them.
All right.
But, you know, the flip side, you know, the flip side of this is the fan base is chomping at the bit for something to get done, but they want to be, you know, so protective of these guys that, that, like you said, haven't proven anything, even at the higher levels of the minor leagues. I mean, with the exception of Senzel, we really don't have anybody that's excelled at the top levels of the minor leagues.
Yeah.
To me, it keeps going back to you got to give up something to get something.
Well, and Senzel's a completely different discussion than Taylor Trammell or Hunter Green or any of these guys, because it's, Nick Senzel was ready for the big leagues 12 months ago, and the Reds didn't bring him up, and then he got hurt. But
wasted what part of this year he did play.
Yes. Oh, completely wasted. Didn't give him an opportunity to learn new positions that he might be playing in Cincinnati. Yeah, just they've handled him so poorly. But with Senzel, nobody is on my can't trade list. I trade anybody in the right deal. If they offered Mike Trout for Nick Senzel, of course, Trout, I guess, only has another, year or two on his contract, but so maybe not. But you bring a good enough package, I'm going to trade Nick Senzel.
Would you wouldn't trade Nick Senzel for 1 year of Mike Trout?
I might.
It'd be tough to say no.
Man, it'd be difficult. I'm not ready to say. I think I would say no, but I'm not ready to declare that. But for 3 years of Corey Kluber, even, it's you know, tempting, but I just, with Senzel, I see him as a free agent acquisition in some ways. This is a guy that you can plug into the Reds lineup today. You're not giving up anybody for him. You're not trading anybody for him. You're not spending a ton of free agent dollars on him. And he improves the team immediately. So since he's ready for the big leagues, I have a difficult time trading him unless it's in just the right circumstances. I don't have that issue with Trammell or Hunter Green or even guys like Tyler Stevenson, who had a good bounce back year. And, you know, Jeter Downs is a guy that Tony Santion's a little higher, but I'd still deal him. He's a pitcher. No such thing as a pitching prospect. So I, matter of fact, I'd be shopping. Boy, I'm going to get in trouble for this one. I'm just going to say it, but I'm going to get in trouble for this one, given what happened last spring. I would be actively shopping Hunter Green right now.
I would too.
I wouldn't trade him for less than what we think he's worth, and you may not get anybody offering because of the injury. You may not get anybody offering what you think he's worth, but I would be actively shopping him.
Didn't I just read that he has started throwing again?
I think so, yeah. I mean, he's they expect that he's going to be able to pitch. So I think he could end up biting you bad, because if he hits his ceiling, this guy is an absolute ace. I mean, we're talking a top three pitcher in all of baseball. And so you could get burned on that one. But how many?
But you know what? There's like you said, there's no sure thing, especially with pitchers.
Yeah. So maybe I rehab his value a little bit this year. Then I'm actively looking to deal him. Just put the risk on some other team. Give me a more, a surer thing, I guess.
More established.
Yeah. Let somebody else take the risk on their pitcher and get him to the big leagues, and then we'll trade for him. And some people are going to say, well, if you do that, you're never going to get an ace. To which I say, well, we can trade for an ace, or we can sign an ace as a free agent. It's not my money. So, I don't know. What would you give up for Corey Kluber? Let's say we start with Trammell. How much more would you go? Do you have any sort of idea?
I really don't. I mean, I don't know what Cleveland's needs are and what they're doing. I don't really understand what they're doing over there for a team that won their division last year by like a million games.
Yeah, I'm not sure why they're trying to trade.
Well, I'm not sure why they're trying to trade everybody. I mean, they've been unloading guys left and right.
Money is what they say. But they say They say they still want to compete, though. They want to get some major league ready guys potentially in the bullpen and an outfielder.
So well, and maybe in that division you can be pretty bad and still compete.
Well, probably, yeah.
So you know, I don't know, but
let me toss this one out to you. I'd like to get your slant on this because this is one that's been proposed, not in any of the official rumors, but that I think is really intriguing, which is Taylor Trammell and Roselli Iglesias for Corey Kluber.
I'd do that in a microsecond.
Yeah, me too. I'm not sure. I'm not sure that's enough for Cleveland.
No, I think they'd want some, they'd want at least one other, if probably high, a good minor league guy or a starter that they a starter off our 25 man that they need. Yeah. And I don't know what their positional needs are at this point.
Outfield. Jesse Winker's the guy I'd seen mentioned. I'm not sure I'd throw Winker in there as well.
I wouldn't throw Winker in that deal. No,
but
then we need two outfielders.
Yeah, Schebler I would throw in.
Yeah, I wouldn't have a problem with that.
But I don't know that that would interest them. You know, I'd throw in guys like Shed Long and some of these other guys in higher levels of the minors. I'd even consider maybe Tyler Stevenson's tough on me. I'm high on him. But with all the injuries, you know.
Yeah, and he's still buried down in minors. I mean, he's – yeah. Was he at high A last year?
Yeah, it's another kid that hasn't made it out of A ball yet. So,
he was a high school kid, right?
He was. And he's still very young.
He's still young, but he's been playing for in A ball for 3 years.
Well, that's injuries mostly.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I understand that, but
yeah, we still don't know.
Right.
He did well this year in A ball. Did very well. Had a really good season.
And was having a good season last year till he got hurt.
Yeah, of course they're not sure.
I mean, the year before, you know what I mean?
No, he's a real player if he's healthy. Not sure that people are not sure if he can stick at catcher. But if he can stick at catcher, he's a real player, but again, I don't know. I don't know what the Trammell and guys like Stevenson and Shedlong have to be, and Hunter Green have to be compelling to some team out there willing to give up something for him. And I'm willing to trade those guys, every single one of them. Senzel, I'm less willing to trade.
It would have to be the right deal for the Reds for me to give up Senzel. I mean, it would have to be a really good deal for the Reds.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's going to have to be. I don't know what. You know, we joke with Trout because he's the best player in baseball, but it's got to be something significant. Because, like I said, Senzel's a guy you drop in your lineup right now. He helps you. He improves your team in 2019 over what they were in 2018, which is all we're talking about, making deals to improve the team. So, Corey Kluber. But Roselli Iglesias, let's circle back around to that. What do you think about the idea of trading Roselle?
I don't have a problem with that at all. And we've talked about it many times. Is that you know the closers? I continue to believe closers are overvalued.
The Indians, however, have been a little bit proactive. If you remember Andrew Miller with the way they've used their relievers, maybe the Reds are going to be the same way this year. Maybe Iglesias will have a little bit different role. But if it's a strictly three out closer, yeah, I agree. But I wonder if the Indians might be interested in him as one of these sort of new age guys that you. A relief pitcher, but
slide him up and down.
Yeah, although I don't know why the Reds can't do that, but it seems like he might be interesting to the Indians, and there's no way to know.
Let me ask you a question.
Bring it on.
All the trade rumors that fly around, especially the last week during the, what percentage of those do you think reporters just write down? Because they may have heard it, and they need to fill column space.
I think you got to look at which reporter you're talking to, or you're hearing from.
They all do it.
You think so? I think a guy like Ken Rosenthal has really heard it from someone that would know. John Morosi with the MLB Network. I don't know. He seems well respected, but I have no idea what his sources are. And it's funny they can send these tweets out and get a lot of retweets, and. People like us start going nuts talking about all of them. That's a good question. I don't know.
They have column space they have to fill every day.
That John Heyman, I always feel like he's just trying to fill column space. I don't necessarily trust what we get from him. Rosenthal, I really do.
I used to feel that way about Hal McCoy all the time.
Yeah.
Everything he said, I went, eh.
All right. Yeah. I can see that. Jason Stark, he's a national guy that I think has good sources, and I don't know.
I just want, even the big names, I wonder if they look into how much credibility the rumor really has, or whether it's just something they heard. You know what I mean?
I wonder. I mean, you know, if you're something that we talk about some of the local guys sometimes is, you know, there's a rumor or something from a source that one of the local guys sends out, and it just looks immediately like, oh, well, the Reds are trying to shape the narrative there. That, you know, that came straight from.
Well, if it, yeah, and if it's one of the, if it's one of the, you know, the Reds, normal reporters, you know that they print anything the Reds tell them.
Yeah. There was a report from someone, that the Reds were in active trade talks. I think it was for Kluber during the winter meetings. Maybe I'm wrong about that. But then a report came from one of the beat writers that was like, you know, Red source says that rumors regarding the Reds seeking to look, trade for Corey Kluber not true. As it, and it was just so obvious. I think it was Kluber. I really do. Who else were they talking to? It wasn't the Dodgers rumors.
Well, the one that kind of I couldn't believe was getting any credibility at all was that they were talking to Miami about the catcher. How do you pronounce his name? Real Muto or
JT Real Muto? Yes.
I don't think they've got enough to get that kid.
Ooh, I don't know. I'd be looking to trade for him. He's a huge upgrade.
Oh, absolutely. But I don't know that the Reds have enough to bring him here.
Maybe not. I like the Reds at least asked about him.
If they did.
Well, that was the report, right. I like the Reds at least asked about Zach Greinke. You know.
Yeah.
Not that that's necessarily a guy you want to bring at that price or whatever, but I just like that they're kicking the tires on seeing what all their options are. That's what it looks like right now, and I'm still optimistic based upon what I've seen so far this offseason, because I do feel like they really are making real efforts to.
I think they're going to bring somebody in here that we're going to be happy about.
Yeah.
As a pitcher, I don't know who it'll be. I'm not ready to make any kind of prediction. But I think they're going to make a move that we're all going to go, yeah.
What about, I'm probably going to do that no matter what they do. Yeah. Because it just sounds really cool. What about this? Imagine this dream scenario. The Reds trade for Corey Kluber. You give up Taylor Trammell and, you know, I don't know, Rosell Iglesias and Tyler
Shedlong.
I don't know who. Somebody. Somebody not including Senzel. And then the Reds and nobody else on the big league roster other than Rosell Iglesias. Trade for Corey Kluber, sign Dallas Keuchel. Let's go to opening day. How are you feeling if they did that?
I'd be pretty happy.
You can't tell me that's beyond the realm of possibility.
I don't believe they're going to be in the running for Keuchel.
Well, we've talked about that. They've got to outbid some guys.
If you and I have gone round and round about this, I just don't think they're going to spend that kind of money.
Yeah, well, I'm right. You're wrong. They are going to spend that much money and more.
He says from the bench in the dark robe.
Where's my gavel?
You need your gavel.
Right. I know you don't think that's going to happen. But imagine this scenario where they go out and they do sign Keuchel. They've clearly targeted him. They sign him in addition to getting Kluber. And so now you've acquired Kluber, Keuchel, and Roark to go on.
Where would that push? And they still got to find it. You assume they still have to find an outfielder somewhere.
Still got to find an outfielder.
So where does that push their payroll? Have you done the numbers?
Well, I haven't, but Steve Mancuso has.
Steve pushed the numbers as to what he thinks they should spend.
Well, he has what they are obligated for right now.
Yeah.
And it's $104.1 million. Now, the Reds say they're going to have a all-time record payroll.
Which could be $16 million.
Which could be $116 million, yes. Steve guesses, and this has been the speculation, somewhere between $130 and $150. You don't believe that's true?
I don't think they'll go above $125.
Oh, I think they'll definitely go above $130. I don't know if they'll get close to $150. But so,
well, I hope you're right.
Well, what if they're willing to spend $130?
Well, what's Kluber? I forget the numbers now. and I know they've been.
I'm going to pull him back up here and see what his, because I forgot to.
Okay, let me while you're pulling that up, let me hit you with something that Paul Dougherty, who my dog Sophie knows more about baseball, I think, than Paul Dougherty does. He said, if the Reds get Kluber and go into the end of the season with Kluber, Rourke, Castillo, and Disco, that might get them close to 500.
I think
you go in there with that rotation. I think you're pushing, 85 to 90 wins.
I think you're 81, if presuming health, and then yes.
Well, yeah. I mean, you're better.
Well, and is Castillo going to take a big step forward? Is DeSclafani going to be healthy? Which one of these other Tyler Mahle, I think, would be the best number five starter in the big leagues next year if he's a number five starter.
And he could replace DeSclafani.
Yeah. Kluber makes 17 next year.
17. Okay, so that gets you to 121.
17 next year, 17 and a half the year after, and then 18 the year after that.
So what's Rourke? You remember his? I don't remember his either. Oh, let me see. Goodness.
Well, I think wasn't Rourke included in Steve's
I don't know.
Calculation?
I don't know when he...
Rourke was 10, I believe, but I'm going to confirm that.
I'm looking right now, too.
Okay, well, you look at his. So, $17 million next year gets us up to 121. If Rourke is 10, that gets us to 131. But, which is, over that 130 threshold that we talked about.
Yep.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that was my computer. Baseball Reference, I love you and I hate you.
Oh, I know.
Quit with the pop-up ads when I'm trying to podcast. So
I'm struggling to find Rourke's salary.
Go down to the bottom of his Baseball Reference page where it shows his contract.
It stops in 18.
But it stops in 18?
Yeah, because that's where I was just looking.
Homer Bailey's gonna make $23 million next year.
Yeah.
$23 million. Tanner Rainey? No, that's the former Red. This is
it says 2019 status, third year arbitration eligible.
Oh, that's right. He's arbitration eligible. So the talk was that he was going to get somewhere around $10 million.
Yeah. So that puts him,
that's what it was.
That puts him over 130,
131. Then here's what you got to ask yourself. If we can get Corey Kluber for 18 a year, knowing that Homer Bailey's $23 million are going to be going off the book at the end of this year, do you do it?
Or absolutely.
I think so. That puts you up to 140 plus, but then you've got $23 million coming off that you'll have for next year to improve the team. If you stop at Rourke and Kluber, we're getting way ahead of ourselves.
Next year, if you want to keep Rourke, do a deal next year with him.
That's right. Actually, Homer Bailey and Rourke would both go off the books. That's $33 million you have. So yeah, I'd go and get a Dallas Keuchel, and you're going to bump up to 145, 148 million or something, and that's a lot of money that I'm asking Kathleen to spend. But then you're going to get $33 million. Or less with Homer's buyout, but there's a little bit of a buyout. So, $32 million, whatever it is, off the books. Man, I think it makes sense.
Yeah, you're taking a big bite for 18 or for 19, but in 2020, it looks a lot more reasonable.
It does. It does. And you've got a little bit of payroll as well to play with, especially if you win more. You're going to have more fans in the stands, but you got a little bit more when that money comes off the books to play with to fill in holes for the next year, make the team better the following year. And there may not be any big Dallas Keuchel signings, but you can fill in around the edges, where the holes are.
Well, and they've got to make a decision what they're going to do with Jeanette. And that's going to be there's going to be a salary impact there too, one way or the other.
One way or the other, right. So that may be coming off the books or maybe adding to the books. So,
writing a bigger check.
So, again, it's not my money, and we're speculating a lot, but I don't see it being outside the realm of possibility that the Reds wouldn't decide. You know, again, the rumors are between 130 and 150. If the Reds wanted to get into the 140s, they can get Keuchel, they can get Kluber, and this could be a fun team. This could be a team from day one that we're really excited about.
Because, I mean, there's no reason to believe this team isn't going to put runs on the board.
Right. Again, we're adding Nick Senzel to an offense that was already pretty good, although the Reds will take a hit offensively by the fact that Billy Hamilton's no longer around.
Uh-huh.
There he goes again.
There he is. Says the man in his Kansas City Royals jersey.
Oh, man. Royals Nation Radio. Episode number one coming next week.
It'll be interesting to see if Joey rebounds.
I think that I would bet the ranch on Joey rebounding.
Well, I would have bet the ranch that he had a big second half, and he didn't. So
I agree. We saw some things from him last year that were strange. But I think, I don't know, I guess I trust that guy too much, but I trust him to identify what the problem was. Is he ever going to get back to his MVP heights? You know, probably not, but again, I wouldn't put that past him either. But you're right, that's going to be a big key as to how the offense does next year. If he comes back to some semblance of his former self, that's a big bat in the middle of the lineup.
If not, we're playing Connor Joe at first base.
Connor Joe. Boy, that's a good name.
It's a baseball name.
It's a baseball name, Connor Joe. All right. So trade all the prospects. This is what we've learned today. Trade all the prospects, and don't get upset when the Reds trade all the prospects. Right?
Well, you sure in the heck can't get a Corey Kluber type player for like we said, Alex Blandino, a bag of balls, and you know, Scott Schebler.
Right, exactly. You gotta have value. You gotta give value to get value. So, one last little rumor that we don't really need to discuss, but I thought out there is that there were some reports, and this might be the reports like you were talking about, that the Reds are interested in a couple free agents, Mike Fiers and Anibal Sanchez. Mike Fiers, of course, played with the Tigers last year, unless I'm completely insane. No, it was Oakland last year, but the Tigers the year before. Decent numbers the last couple of years, you know, ERA is okay. I mean, just is fielding independent pitching numbers not great, but, it's, you know, overall slightly above average. He's going to be 34 next year. Who actually played with Detroit and Oakland last year. See, I don't know how to read. The other guy, Anibal Sanchez. So you got one 34-year-old. You got Anibal Sanchez, who is going to be 35, who, you know, at one time was a really, when he was with Detroit, was a really interesting young prospect. Finished fourth in the Cy Young voting in 2013. Pitched with Atlanta last year. Again, was okay. Not awful. But, they're interested in those guys. I can't see them being interested in those guys as anything other than, roster filler, fighting for the number five spot, or possibly
if they're still available in February, you know, the middle of February, you know, you might take a look at them, and because at that point the cost is going to be down, but they're no step up from what they've been signing the last few years.
Yeah. And they're not going to cost much, and both of them have issues with home runs, looks like. So that's a question. I'm not sure they fit in, but maybe the Reds are seeing something that causes them to believe they fit. I don't know. Not much to say about it.
Maybe the pitching coach knows them and says, you know, maybe I can make them, get them some type of adjustment that'll make them more successful, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe. So that's out there. But I just like, again, the Reds are talking, but are they going to do something? And if and when they make a big trade, do you think that the majority of the fan base is going to go nuts being excited or being seriously upset?
I think it depends on where you're getting your input. If you're reading comments, God, this is going to sound really snobby.
I love it.
If you're talking to people that are dyed-in-the-wool baseball fans that dig into the numbers like our editors do, you know, like our writers do, and a lot of our readers do, I think they'll understand that you like we've been saying, like I've said 20 times here, you got to give up something to get something. The knee-jerk guys that, you know, down there pounding beers and you know, wouldn't know Shed Long from Shithouse Mouse, they're going to go, what are you doing? This is a good, you know, this guy's going to be the next, you know, Joe Morgan, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, if they trade a guy like Hunter Green ever, oh, it's going to be crazy.
Oh, yeah,
people go nuts.
And the only thing they know about Hunter Green is that he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated.
That's right, which he was. If they trade Senzel, I'm prepared to sign on with a Nick Senzel trade if they get the right thing in return. But I would say that there are people for whom there is no one you could trade Nick Senzel for that they would be happy.
I agree.
So, I don't know. We're going to be happy this offseason.
Well, you know, and it's the same thing back, you know, going back to what you started, you know, kind of going all the way in a circle here, going back to the latest deal. There were people that didn't understand when the Reds drafted Yonder Alonso, but they were the same people that were pissed when he was traded.
Right, yeah.
what do you mean we drafted a first baseman? You know, we've got a great first baseman.
Right.
Then what are we doing trading Yonder Alonso? You know,
he's a big-time prospect.
Yeah.
So, you know, sometimes you got to make those deals, and they are difficult. I don't want them to trade Taylor Trammell or any of these guys. You know, I'd like to see what we've got on those guys. But, you know, the name of the game is wins on the big league level, and sometimes you got to just bite the bullet. So trade all
every
the prospects.
Every trade is a gamble.
Every single one. So, again, let's review. Trade all the prospects and get Corey Kluber. That's the lesson here, right?
We're going to trade all of our minor league system for Corey Kluber.
Except Nick Senzel.
Except Nick Senzel. Yeah.
Right. Okay, there we go.
So if he doesn't make the team, he'll be playing at Louisville by himself.
Right, for the next 5 years. All right, this is Red Leg Nation Radio. I'm Chad Dodson. He's Bill Lack. You can find us everywhere you get your podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, wherever. We're there, Google Play. Go find us. Leave us a rating. Leave us a review. 5 stars only, please. 5 stars only. If you like us, talk about us. If you don't like us, keep your mouth shut.
Quiet.
You can find us at Red Leg Radio on Twitter, at redlegnation.com every day, where we've been talking about the Reds since 2005 and having a good time doing it. If you want to submit a question again for viewer mail, you can submit that temporarily to our Twitter feed at Red Leg Radio. Bill Lack, it's always good talking to you, buddy. Any final thoughts for our friends and listeners?
Merry Christmas and happy holidays to all of our sad people that spend the time listening to us.
You got to wonder why they do it, but I got to tell you.
I wonder every time we talk about this, why would anybody want to hear this?
And thank you for that. With the holiday season here, you know, and Christmas upon us, I really do sort of reflect, and I'm so grateful for all of you guys. I've said it several times on the podcast, but those of you that come up to me and say hello and tell me how much you like the podcast, and or on Twitter, tell me that it does mean a lot, and that's why we keep doing this every week, and we have a good time doing it, and it's because you guys keep for some reason listening to this mess. All right. Good talking to you, Bill. Hope we'll talk again soon.
Yep, I'm going downstairs to work out Connor Joe, getting ready for spring training.
Get him ready. For Bill Lack and Corey Kluber, this is Chad Dodson saying so long, everyone.
Thanks for listening to Red Leg Nation Radio from redlegnation.com. Subscribe to Red Leg Nation Radio on iTunes or through your favorite podcast app, and join us for discussion of all things Reds at redlegnation.com. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.